Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee now with Thy word before us, and we ask Thee, Lord, for Thee to speak. We ask, Lord, that Thou would speak to each and every heart. Oh, still us before Thy word, Lord. May Thy word not go to the ears, but to the heart. Lord, pray that Thou would help me. Touch me afresh. Fill me with Thy Spirit, that I may proclaim Thy word. Fill each hearer with Thy Spirit, that they may receive it with gladness. O Lord, bless us now as we meet and continue round Thy word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder this morning, as we meet here around God's word, what preparation have we made? What preparation should we have made this morning before coming here? I remember being told, or it was done in my household and done in many others' children, the Sunday clothes would have been laid out the night before, and the shoes would have been polished on the Saturday night, and you could say a preparation was made for the Sunday. Even today, I'm sure many of the ladies and possibly some of the gentlemen have the potatoes peeled and the meat in the oven. Again, some form of preparation has been made. However, both these examples of preparation are—it's not the type of preparation I want us to consider. See, these examples of preparation I refer to here—they're just preparation for the physical. The clothes that is prepared the Saturday night before, that's a preparation for the outward appearance, which is important. It is important in how we come to the house of the Lord. The food is a preparation for our physical sustenance. Again, it is important. We need food to survive. But the preparation of a greater importance I want us to consider this morning is a spiritual preparation. It is the preparation of our heart. Have you prepared your heart this morning? Do you prepare your heart every time you come to the Lord's house? Do you prepare your heart every time you turn to God's word in your own home? See, our text this morning is Ezra chapter 7 and the verse 10. And in this verse we were told there, for Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra prepared his heart. Could that be said about us today? Have we prepared our hearts? See, if we're to be taught at the Master's feet this morning, we need hearts that are prepared. This word that is translated here as prepared, it means more than to simply make provision for. You see, the examples that I gave about the clothes and the food, that's provision. Provision for the outward appearance, provision for our physical needs. But this word here in Ezra 7 verse 10, when we're told Ezra had prepared his heart, it's more than making provision. Literally, this word means to establish, to fix, or to apply. Therefore, when Ezra 7, verse 10 says, Ezra had prepared his heart, it reveals to us this morning that Ezra had fixed his heart. He had applied his heart onto something. What was it that Ezra had applied his heart onto? Well, the remainder of this verse tells us exactly what Ezra had applied his heart to do. It says, for Ezra had prepared his heart, Ezra had applied his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. It is these actions I want us to consider this morning. And these are actions that we can only do, we can only accomplish, if we have a prepared heart. Therefore, see with me this morning why we must prepare our hearts. Why does the child of God need a prepared heart? Well, firstly, we see from this verse that the child of God needs a heart that is prepared, that they may seek the truth. Ezra 7 verse 10 says, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. It was prepared. His heart was prepared to seek the law of the Lord. Now, this is not just merely a reference to the Ten Commandments. See, there's many who'll make that mistake when they read of the law of the Lord. They go, well, that's talking about the Ten Commandments. But this reference to the law of the Lord, it refers to all of God's word. God's word is given many names in Scripture. Consider Psalm 119. It's a fascinating psalm, a psalm worthy of much study. The longest psalm in Scripture, and each section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a psalm that makes much reference to Scripture. In fact, all 176 verses of the psalm makes mention of the Word of God. Take the time, some time, to go through that psalm. Check every verse. Every verse makes reference to God's Word. In verse 1, it's given the same title as in our text. It is the law of the Lord. In verse 2, it's spoken of as his testimonies. In verse 5, it speaks of his statutes. The list goes on and on. All these various titles used in Scripture bring out different characteristics of God's holy word. There's other titles used in other places. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ's words in John 17 and the verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the word of God. And as John 17:17 reminds us, God's word is truth. Thus, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the truth. I want us to consider as we think on this point on having a heart prepared to seek the truth. I want you to see with me firstly that means this seeking implies searching. See, when Ezra sought the law of the Lord, he wasn't engaging in some careless, cursory, carefree exercise, but he's applying himself to the Scriptures. He was searching the Scriptures. See, this is a man who spent much time in God's Word. This word that is translated as seek in our verse, it implies the idea to frequent. It wasn't some one-off exercise, but it was something that he repeatedly did. He had a heart prepared to continually seek, to continually search the Scriptures. Is this not the great imperative that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in John 5 and 39? Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say there, search the Scriptures? See, when something of great value is lost, we would search for it with great fervor. If that thing is important to us, we'll continue to seek it, we'll continue to search for it until we find it. And if the Scriptures are of such value to us as they should be, we should be searching them with such fervor. We're not simply to give a few moments to read a few verses so we can take a box off on some reading plan and then think our conscience can be eased. But we must seek. We must search the Scriptures and meditate upon them. Isn't that what we sang in our opening psalm? Meditating on God's word day and night. We are to search the Scriptures that we might make great discoveries of the truth that they contain. But before I move on any further on this point regarding seeking the truth, I want to stop and exhort you who is here unsaved this morning. I want to give you this very same exhortation. Search the Scriptures. I've already quoted that first part of John 5:39 where Christ says, search the Scriptures, but consider the whole verse. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Christ tells the unbelieving hearers here that the Scriptures testify of him. And dear friend, as you sit here this morning, I tell you that the Scriptures reveal Christ. They testify of him. God's word is truth. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. A searching of the Scriptures brings Christ to the searcher. Therefore, I exhort you this morning, if you are unsaved, to search the Scriptures and there see Christ as your only way of salvation. Saved one here this morning, you too must search the Scriptures that you too may find Christ. See, this should be the desire of each and every single one of us here today. Our desire should be when we come to the Word of God, when we come to the house of God to hear His Word preached, our heart's desire should be to find Christ, to know Christ better. Do we have that desire today? Do you have that desire to know Christ? This was the Apostle Paul's great desire, something that he strived for. Consider Philippians 3 in the verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. He doesn't say that I may know about him, but I may know him. Do you see the difference? The Apostle Paul doesn't merely want to know about Jesus, about Christ. He wants to know him better. See, it's more than just some head knowledge. And if you prepare your heart to do so this morning, you will find Christ in every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Is your heart prepared? If you come to God's word with a prepared heart, you will find Christ. This text in Philippians and this thought about knowing him, it leads on to a second thought on to this point. And that is that such seeking insists upon a spiritual grounding. See, Ezra didn't just prepare his mind to seek the truth. The Apostle Paul wasn't simply looking for a head knowledge of Christ. But Ezra, we're told in this verse, Ezra prepared his heart. It wasn't his mind. It wasn't his intellect. But Ezra prepared his heart. See, if we are to seek the truth, we must do so on more than an intellectual level. We don't need minds that are full of knowledge, but we need hearts that are full of truth. It is therefore something we cannot strive to do in our own strength. So we must be careful not to simply fill our heads with knowledge. I believe that's one of the biggest dangers in Bible college. If all this truth surrounded by it, instruction in theology, and great instruction. But it must be more than just a head knowledge of doctrine. It must be applied. It must be in relation to our Savior and what he has done. But we cannot do this in our own strength. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to truly study the Word of God. You see, if our hearts aren't prepared, if we don't have the help of the Holy Spirit, if we come to God's Word, it'll just be a textbook. Oh, it'll be great truth contained, but it'll only go the length of the brain. But we need it to go to heart. We must, if we are to feed upon God's Word, we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need our hearts to be prepared. Consider the words of Colossians 3 in the verse 2. There we're told to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The affections here is another way of speaking about the heart. Colossians 3 verse 2 is exhorting us to set our hearts on the things above. That is on the spiritual things. In short, this verse is saying, apply your hearts unto the things of God. And as Matthew 6:21 reminds us, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your heart applied unto spiritual things? Is your heart prepared for the receiving of spiritual truth? Do we apply our hearts to the seeking of truth today? If we are to seek truth, we must prepare our hearts. And to do so, we must ask help from God. See, as we come to God's Word, as you come to God's Word in your home, in your own private devotions, do you just pick up the Bible and read it? Or do you spend time before the Lord and asking him for help? Do you prepare your heart? You may ask me today, well, how do I prepare my heart in the reading of God's Word? I believe God's Word gives us the very answer in James 1 and the verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Simple advice. I'm not giving you anything complicated this morning, but if you're to come to God's Word, if you're to have a prepared heart, ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to prepare your heart that you may receive the truth that his Word contains. This verse, it promises to us that God giveth to all men liberally. Each one who asks for wisdom, God will give wisdom to. It says, and it shall be given him. God promises you, if you seek him, you will find him. If you seek an understanding, God will give you that understanding. But you must prepare your heart. This is the preparing of the heart. You can't come to God's word without first preparing your heart. Likewise, you can't come into God's house and hear his word preached if you do not prepare your heart. Maybe there's many a time you have a man standing in the pulpit and you go away and think, what was that man talking about? Well, maybe a lot of the time that's to do with the man and the man is the fault, but to ask yourself, was your heart prepared for the receiving of the message? Had you asked the Lord to give you the wisdom to understand what was being preached? See, we must have prepared hearts in the seeking of truth. But see, with me secondly this morning, not only did Ezra, and therefore must we have a prepared heart to seek the truth, but we must have a prepared heart to be doers of the truth. See, the doing of the truth is inextricably linked with the seeking of the truth. The outworking of seeking is doing. We're told in James 1 verse 22 to be doers of the word and not hearers only. How many times have you heard those words uttered? How many times have you uttered themselves, maybe even in the prayer meeting, before the service? You'd ask the Lord to help us to be doers and not hearers only. But if we do not engage our hearts in the seeking, we will never be doers. When we search the scriptures for truth, we shall be asking ourselves, how do I apply this to my life? Again, simple instruction for you today. When you come to God's word, first of all, seek the Lord. Ask him to give you wisdom and the understanding. But also ask the Lord to show you, how do I apply this in my life? Again, as you come to church, that should be what you should be asking the Lord to do for you as the preacher preaches. How can I apply the message that the man is preaching to me? How can I apply this in the week that lies ahead? See, it's the preacher's duty not only to preach the truth, but when he's doing so, he must be given the hearer application for how they might live it. And something I've often failed to do, and many of us do, we fail in this God-given duty to present the truth in such a way that it can be applied in the life of every hearer. The model text of the Whitfield College of the Bible, 2 Timothy 2 and the verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, here in this verse we see the clear link between hearing and doing. Study. There's the seeking of truth. Study. Be diligent. Study. Why do we have to study? To show ourselves approved unto God, a workman. We study that we may do. If our hearts are prepared and we seek the truth, our hearts will burn within us to be doers also. See, unless your heart's prepared in the seeking, you'll never be a doer. Earlier I made mention of Psalm 119 and in connection with the different titles used of Scripture. But this psalm also presents to us one who lived according to the word of God. Psalm 119 has been described by one as the demonstration of the word of God in the man of God. Verse 105 presents the word as a lamp unto the psalmist's feet and a light unto his path. The psalm presents one who's like Ezra, one who is seeking the truth, one who is endeavoring to live according to it. In verse 110, the psalmist says, I erred not from thy precepts. See, here's a man who knew the truth, and by knowing the truth, it wasn't even just dictating what he did do, but it was dictating what he wouldn't do. He erred not from his precepts. In verse 112, I believe it fits perfectly with our text in Ezra 7. For here the psalmist says, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I have inclined my heart. What? He has prepared his heart. He's prepared his heart that he may perform, that he may do what God's word has commanded. Here is a prepared heart doing and not just hearing the truth. Are you going to live for the Lord in the week that lies ahead? Do you see that as a must, not an option today? What will be your response to this message this morning? Are you just going to continue on the path you're on, giving a few moments to the reading of Scripture and to prayer, and giving even less time to the application of what Scripture commands you to do? Or will your response be today, I must do more? I must do more. If you turn over to Ezra 10 and the verse 12 here, we have the people's response. That verse speaks of the congregation. May you apply that to you today as this congregation here, Ezra 10 and the verse 12. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Will that be your response today? So we must do. So must we do. Oh, not to me. You're not in saying this in response to me as I have said. But may that be your response to God. To what you have read in God's word. Every time you do him the God's word and read his command to you, may your response be to God, as thou hast said, so must we do. As thou hast said, there's the seeking, there's the hearing of truth. So must we do, there's the doing of it. But if you're to be a doer of God's word in the week that lies ahead, you can't just have some resolution in yourself. So you could say to me, yes, I have been knocking, I haven't been doing this, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do it this week. But let me tell you, if you're just going in your own strength, or to some guilt, it'll not be long till you'll feel. It's like the New Year's resolutions. We all make these resolutions, but how many of us keep them? But we need the help of the Spirit. We need a prepared heart. See, we can't do these things in our own strength, as I've said already. We need empowerment from on high. If it is your desire to live for the Lord in the week ahead, again, you must seek the help of the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and the verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, if you're to live for the Lord and not to be a hearer but a doer, you must be filled with the Spirit. Simple instruction. Pray to God to fill you with His Spirit. When was the last time you asked God to fill you with His Spirit? Reverend Ferguson often in Bible College get reminded of this when he did the devotions. He would challenge us and ask us, did you pray this morning to be filled with His Spirit? I ask you the same thing to you this morning. Before coming into God's house today, did you ask God to fill you with His Spirit? Are you going to be a hearer or a doer of God's word if you have not the filling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, ask, and you shall receive. But I want to encourage you this morning that if you do strive with the help of the Holy Spirit to be a doer of God's word, you are assured that God's presence will go with you. Philippians 4 verse 9, it covers our thoughts so far. It says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. There's the seeking of truth. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There's the doing of truth. Those things which you have learned, do. And then comes the promise. And the God of peace shall be with you. Dear friend, you don't go alone. God will go with you as you go into this world to do. If you're serious today about not simply being a hearer and a doer, also, I ask you to make Psalm 86 and verse 11 the prayer of your heart today. For here the psalmist says, teach me thy way, O Lord. Why? I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Will that be your prayer this morning? Will you ask the Lord to teach you that you may walk in his truth? But before we move on to our next point, again, I want to speak to you who is here unsaved. I want you who is not saved here today to realize it's not simply enough to know the truth. You too must be a doer. So you may know the scripture tells you that you are a sinner in need of salvation. You may know you must confess and repent of your sin. You possibly have an understanding of most, if not all, the salvation truths. But unless you actually repent and believe, you will not be saved. Be not a hearer only, but be a doer. Therefore, I exhort you today to repent and believe. Oh, it's not enough for you to know the truth, but you must do it also. Child of God, I say to you, and I mean this, there is little or no point seeking the truth if you do not do it. What is the point in studying God's word if you're not going to try and live it? But to seek the truth and to do the truth, we must prepare our hearts. We need the help of God. See with me thirdly this morning that we must prepare our hearts to teach the truth. To teach the truth. Verse 10, back in our text, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment." Again, it's flowing on from what has gone before. See, consider the starting point. We can only teach others when we've first been taught ourselves. See, you can see that order in the text. Firstly, we seek the truth, then we do the truth, and then we teach the truth. So you come to the Lord's house week after week to be instructed in truth. The next step is to do what you have been taught concerning the things of God. Is that where it stops, though? Is that where it is to stop? Does it stop with you simply hearing God's word and then possibly even going and living it in your own life? But it shouldn't be. See, the church's duty is to teach its members so that they will in turn teach others. You are taught that you too may teach. See, we all can fall into a trap of routine and formality. See, many think that they've fulfilled their duty by simply coming to church, hearing a sermon, going home, and just doing the same thing the next week and the next week and the next week. You know, we come to the house of God to worship God and also to be taught of God. But then, in turn, we are to go and to teach others. See, the third point flows from my second. We're in no position to tell others how to live if we're not living the life ourselves. I apply this to myself. As the old saying goes, we must practice what we preach. That holds true to you too. For our actions speak louder than words. Above my desk in my study at home, I have the words, "The best sermons are lived, not preached." Now, there's much truth in these words. The best sermons are lived, not preached. But I believe these words fall short. For I believe the best sermons are those that are lived and preached. See, if we're to teach others, we must first prepare our heart. Before we can preach, before we can teach, we must first live the life. But if to do so, we need that prepared heart. We need a heart that is touched by the Lord. See, we cannot teach in our own strength. As I stand here this morning, I can testify of that. I ask you to pray for a prepared heart, for a ready heart, for a heart that is equipped. Oh, may we have a heart that is full of truth, that we may share the truth with others. But notice not only the starting point of this teaching, but see the substance of the teaching. What is it that Ezra's heart was prepared to teach? His heart was prepared to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, when I tell you to teach, maybe when you heard that point, you switched on and go, "Well, I'm not a teacher." But you see, when I tell you that you are to teach others, I'm not expecting you to go and teach your unsaved neighbors or work colleagues deep theological doctrines. For I tell you, there'll be no point in doing so. It'd be a completely fruitless exercise to go and try and teach deep theological doctrines to the unsaved. For what would be the point? But our text makes clear what it is. Each and every one of us must have a prepared heart to teach. The substance of our teaching is to be statutes and judgments. See, we're to teach the laws concerning God's law and God's justice. This is the teaching that the world requires. God gave the law, and God requires obedience to that law. And failure to obey the law leads to judgment. See, this is the teaching that the world requires. See, many think that the law is something we should no longer teach. The law is not for us. We're under grace, not under law. But heed the words of Galatians 3 in the verse 24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So we must teach the commandments, we must teach the law to show sinners their need of Christ, that they may see that they have no way of escape of God's judgment if they neglect so great salvation. That's what we have to teach. We need to tell our neighbors, our loved ones, our work colleagues that they're sinners in need of salvation and tell them that there is a way provided. Well, this is no small task. It's not easy. But it's something that we must do. And it's only something we can do if we have a prepared heart. As I bring this message to a close this morning, let me repeat my opening question. What preparation have you made? Child of God, have you a prepared heart? Have you a prepared heart to seek the truth? A prepared heart to do the truth? And a prepared heart to teach the truth? Unsaved one here this morning, what preparation have you made? Are you prepared for eternity? Have you prepared for eternity? Only you can answer that. As the hymn asks, eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity? Are you prepared? Are we prepared this morning? What preparations have you made? May the Lord take his word and bless it to each and every heart. I'm going to ask you to please join with me in the singing of hymn 400.